In the book of Revelation, we have this 1,000 years mentioned over and over again. Now, folks, there are things about this kingdom on earth that I flat do not understand. There's one thing that happens afterwards that not only do I not understand it, I am completely against it. And the first thing I intend to do when I get into the kingdom is try to have a little powwow with the Lord. What is up with letting Satan out? Let's form a committee. Let's call a meeting. Lord, have you thought that one through? I have no clue why that happens. I just know it happens. And I'm certainly not, you know, that's at least 1,000+ years away. We have plenty of time for the Lord to explain it to us. Okay? When he gets here, and by the way, Lord, I will not call powwow. It's just a joke. You want to talk to me? You want to talk to me? No, I don't, Lord. I'm quite satisfied to let you run the world. But there are things about this that are hard to understand. I plead with you, don't reject it simply because you don't understand it. Because what I discovered as I began to read through the scriptures, that suddenly when I realized that Jesus was talking about a real kingdom on earth, a lot of the things that were said and done started making a whole lot of sense. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, when I was growing up, I heard preacher after preacher say, these crazy disciples, these numbskulls still don't get it. The kingdom is spiritual, not physical. I mean, isn't that what Jesus said? My kingdom is not of this world. Did he not say that? Why, after all of this, after the resurrection of Jesus, are they still asking him, Lord, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus is getting ready to leave. This is a real good time to say, boys, one more time. See if you can get it this time. It's not going to happen. But he doesn't. In fact, he does just the opposite. He says, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. The times and dates that the Father has set by his own authority for what? To restore the kingdom to Israel. He never challenges their question. He only challenges the fact that they are trying to get more information about times and dates they really don't need to know. They are going to have more than their fair share of things to deal with in the days to come, especially after the day of Pentecost. Some of them will be on the run. Some of them will be orchestrating incredible revivals and thousands will be coming to faith. He never challenges the fact that the kingdom is coming. Now, so what about where Jesus says, the kingdom, my kingdom is not of this earth? A real good place to see this, I believe, is in John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. There are other passages that indicate that there were movements to come and take Jesus and enthrone him by force. There were people that wanted to get on board and take this thing that Jesus was doing and turn it into a political coup. And Jesus said, I know what's in your heart. And by the way, my kingdom is not of this world. No man is going to hand me the keys to the kingdom. Where did Jesus receive the authority for the kingdom? Right out of the right hand of the Father. Now, it just irritates me, but he just doesn't need my permission. He doesn't even need my vote. When I started taking all of the scriptures that talk about a literal kingdom versus this one kingdom that had a very legitimate interpretation that was different from mine, my kingdom is not of this world. He's talking about the source of its authority. Where does it come from? He is not talking about the location. I have to harmonize that verse with the greater body of Scripture and what it says. All right, does that make sense? If I've got 20 verses here that say this, I'm not... Here's a good example. If I line up 5 verses that say, repent and be baptized, he who believes and is baptized is saved, and then I come over here and I find one verse that says, just call on the name of the Lord, I'm not going to throw out all the verses about baptism. I'm going to harmonize the two passages. I'm going to understand they're part and parcel of each other. This is basic hermeneutics. No one's throwing hymn books at me, so I'm feeling really good right now. That's great. Okay. You know what? And I never even looked at my book here to do all this. So, that's where I'm at. Now, I told you earlier that I really feel like on this subject that I just need to shut up. That's hard for me. But that is exactly what I'm going to do. There is no way I can convince you of the nature of the kingdom. So I'll just let God do it. And we are going to look at some passages. I'll have a little commentary. But I just want to go and see what does God's Word say about the nature of the kingdom. I would ask that as we read these scriptures, you take note of where it says these are happening and the elements that are involved in it. Let's turn, first of all, to 1 Kings. Someone asked me last night if you were going to get a diploma in Old Testament survey after this was over. I thought that really made me feel real good. I had one gentleman that came up to me at another meeting and said, well, let me see if I got this right. If I want to understand Revelation, I got to understand the Old Testament. I said, you got it. All right, 1 Kings chapter 8. I'm in 2 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. And just hold that for right now. Does God actually intend to dwell on earth?